From a man whose mental confusion resembles a computer browser with too many tabs open, this is the Daniel Natale Show. One of the most painful videos I've watched lately was one where a super annuated adolescent Joe Rogan took enough time away from his bong to parrot 1993 gay lobby talking points as he tried to pass these canned slogans off as his own original thoughts. Drawing on classic leftist methodology, he tried to invalidate the general with recourse to the particular. Aristotle talks about that in Nicomachean Ethics. The medical school, he says, teaches general human anatomy, whereas the doctor deals with particular cases from his patients. In other words, while the general human body can be said to have five fingers per hand, a particular human being, say, Chester Wilkins Jr., might only have four on one hand. That Chester only has four fingers does not invalidate the truth that the archetypal human form has five. Leftists will see that 98.9% of human beings have five fingers on one hand and draw attention to the anomaly and claim that that should invalidate the fact that people have five fingers, or that women have wombs, or that men have XY chromosomes. They always want us to live around the anomaly. As Matt Walsh describes the archetypal reason for marriage, Joe Rogan reaches for the 0.00001% to try to invalidate it, laying the groundwork for gay marriage. He asks about infertile couples, or couples that just don't want to have children to advance their career, or people who marry at the age of 85. He then waters down the premise of marriage and asks, what about all the choices?
But isn't that just a personal choice? I mean, you can have a very fulfilling life if you just follow your pursuits and your dreams and your interests, and you find someone that shares those interests with you, and you share time together. It's very fulfilling and loving.
Yeah, it's a personal choice, and that I'm not advocating for like a law that says that you if you're married you have to have X number of kids.
But then why are you opposed to two gay people doing that?
Well, because again, it's not about choice. It's about what this institution, marriage is an institution, and what is it, and what purpose does it serve? And I do not agree with tearing down or changing this definition, especially because the people who have changed the definition haven't come up with a new one. So they say, well, that's not what marriage is. So for thousands of years, we said marriage is the procreative union. And then we had the other side that came along and said, well, it's not that. Okay, well then, like, what is it exactly? And I know you said, well, it's people who love each other. Two people love each other. Well, but then why two people? Why do they have to love each other? All these kinds of questions. You get into, what if they're in the same family? What if brothers and sisters want to marry? And I know every time that comes up, you know, the advocates for gay marriage will say, well, that's a slippery slope argument. That's a fallacious. But it's actually not. It's like we're trying to get to, what do you even think this institution is now, since you've rejected out what we were saying it was? And I've never found a compelling definition.
Walsh was struggling to try and explain the archetypal concept of marriage, the general versus the particular. The aforementioned Aristotle says that ethics is based on the general. It's the standard for something, the blueprint, the ideal. Rogan, taking the unethical position, reaches for the anomaly, the unideal, the disfigured version of the institution. A few sentences later, he unloads the talking point he's been leading up to the whole time. I don't see any reason why gay people affect a straight marriage.
I just don't see how a gay marriage in any way damages a straight marriage. I don't see it at all. It doesn't make any sense to me. It just seems to me that if people want to be... Look, if you wanted to look at logic, especially in our modern society, which is pretty when it comes to relationships, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 50% of all marriages end in divorce anyway.
Ooh, Joe just made a huge mistake. He invoked the word logic without actually using it. He basically tried to justify people drinking orange juice by pouring it in their ear canal and then claiming that he's advocating for the logical position. Putting things in the wrong orifice isn't logical, Joe, but that's neither here nor there. Let's put it this way. Socrates said that the sophist says what is popular. The philosopher says what is true. Rogan is saying what is the popular position. He's engaging in classic sophistry. He asks, for instance, how gay marriage waters down the archetypal concept of marriage. Okay, Joe. Imagine if I called myself a doctor despite never having gone to medical school, without ever being board certified. Now, what if millions of people started calling themselves doctors under the same circumstances? Would that erode the public trust when it came to dealing with physicians? Rogan's stale 1993 talking points about how gay marriage won't affect anyone else and how there is no slippery slope is embarrassing as of 2023. After reeling off the fringe anomalies again, Rogan frames Marriage Isn't Anything Goes smorgasbord as a personal choice.
What are the percentage of people today that are married that don't have children? I bet it's pretty high amongst heterosexuals.
Probably.
Is there something wrong with that?
I think there is something wrong with that. I think there is something wrong with, you know, getting married and saying, oh, we're not going to have any kids at all.
But why is there something wrong with that if someone's personal choice?
What Walsh is having trouble explaining to man-child Joe Rogan is that society requires definitional clarity for institutions. Socrates says that people will fight if there is no objective standard for a thing. If two men quibble over the weight of something, they can adjudicate it with recourse to a scale. If they argue over the size of something, they can resolve the tension by determining its magnitude with a ruler. Here's Socrates talking about it.
Socrates, and what sort of difference creates enmity and anger? Suppose, for example, that you and I, my good friend, differ about a number. Do differences of this sort make us enemies and set us at variance with one another? Do we not go at once to calculation and end them by a sum? Euthyphro: true. Socrates: or suppose that we differ about magnitudes. Do we not quickly put an end to that difference by measuring? Euthyphro: that is true. Socrates: and we end a controversy about heavy and light by resorting to a weighing machine? Euthyphro: to be sure. Socrates: but what differences are those which, because they cannot be thus decided, make us angry and set us at enmity with one another? I dare say the answer does not occur to you at the moment, and therefore I will suggest that this happens when the matters of difference are the just and unjust, good and evil, honorable and dishonorable. Are not these the points about which, when differing and unable satisfactorily to decide our differences, we quarrel, when we do quarrel, as you and I and all men experience? Euthyphro: yes, Socrates, that is the nature of the differences about which we quarrel.
What moral relativist Joe Rogan fails to grasp is that when nations are built, societies establish standards, like the U.S. Constitution, where young America created a Department of Weights and Measures. It determines the parameters for many institutions. Marriage, it goes without saying, is an institution. What would happen, Mr. Rogan, if I showed up at a construction site and it was my personal choice to say that a foot was 3 inches? What would happen if the guy next to me's personal choice was that a foot is 6 inches? How about the guy 10 paces away who said that a foot is 3 feet? What would that building look like? The Bible describes God sabotaging the Tower of Babel by making people break up into different languages. In the squabble of different standards that ensued, construction came to a halt. In summation, when you want to build a society, you establish standards for things, ideals. When you want to tear one down, you do what Mr. Rogan is doing with his Weimar Republic talking points. Talking points, by the way, that aren't even his. He's repeating them word for word like a ventriloquist dummy, with a minimum of actual thought and a maximum of gullibility. Rogan dared to use the word logic. A logician like Socrates would eat Mr. Rogan for breakfast. P.S. Joe, follow your own logical advice. Next time you try to smoke your bong, try inhaling it from your belly button. You know, logic. When the news leaves a bad taste in your mouth, luckily, there's the Daniel Natale Pez dispenser. It gives out only red pills, as does the New American Magazine. Get your subscription today.